Thanks for checking out the Vox Church podcast. We are so honored to have you join us, and we hope this message speaks to you in a powerful way. Learn more about Vox Church by visiting us online at voxchurch.org. Enjoy the message.
Good morning. My name is Nancy Silva, and I have the incredible privilege and honor of working in the central office at Vox Church. And I'm so glad to be here today. I have something really burning in my heart to share with you. And I'm convinced that far beyond my words, that God is going to speak to you today. Yeah? We ready for that? It's the first Sunday of 2020. How many made New Year's resolutions? I'm not going to eat another Christmas cookie, and I'm not listening to another Christmas carol. Those are my two resolutions right now. No, no, really, anybody make New Year's resolutions? Come on. Some of us did. Anyway, I love this time of year because it feels like a clean slate, right? Whatever 2019 carried for you, you know, there's always a mix. There's the good, the tough stuff. I love the feeling of the beginning of a new year because it carries so much promise. It really does. And when we make resolutions, we make them to improve our life, right? Pretty simple. And they usually begin with something we want to do better or be better, something we want to stop doing or start doing. Maybe it's an exercise program. Sorry, I had to bring it up because it's the top one. Maybe it's a healthy eating plan. You're doing Whole30 for January. Maybe it's something like that. Maybe it's a new relationship. Maybe this is the year you're going to get that courage up to ask that girl out or to ask that guy to go to coffee or dinner, right? Maybe it's a new skill or a hobby. You're going to learn a new language. I'm still working on English, so I don't think I'll be taking up any foreign languages. I have no musical talent, so I'm not going to be taking up any instruments. But maybe you'll take an art class. Maybe this is the year you're saying, that's it, I'm finishing my degree, and I'm going to go back to school, and I'm going to change my career. I'm going to go for that promotion. I'm going to get that professional development. And that's how resolutions begin, right? We want to improve our life. And any successful resolution involves a dream or a desire. You start to get that picture in your heart of a healthier you, or a stronger you, or a dating you, or you doing a different job, or that promotion you want. You start to get that desire, that dream for more, right? From the desire, you got to make a plan, right? Because it doesn't just happen. You can't just dream it. You don't just wake up, I wish you could. So you join the gym, or you buy that exercise equipment, or you make that plan for food, or you sign up to that Christian dating site, website, right? I had to put that in there, that Christian website. You sign up for that course. Gulp. You're gonna go back to school. You're going to finish those math courses or whatever. And then the third step is always applying the effort, right? You push up your sleeves, and you actually get up at 6 a.m. and go to the gym. You push up your sleeves and you get the courage up to ask that person out, just to get to know someone. Or you show up at that course and you turn Netflix off at night, and now you're doing your studies, you're completing your coursework. It's so exciting. I have some personal resolutions, which I am not foolish enough to share from the stage, because I would like to do some of them before I do. But I'm pretty excited about what 2020 holds personally. We're kicking off here at Vox, we're kicking off our first sermon series is called Start With Yes. Start With Yes. And it carries that kind of that flavor of a resolution, but there's a little more to it than that. Our focus is to say yes to God. Our focus is to say yes to a deeper and a stronger relationship with Jesus, to literally jump into a relationship with God with both feet. You know, an unmistakable sign of a follower of Jesus is spiritual growth. You know, we grow and we change. We really don't stay the same. The closer we draw to God, the closer we draw to Jesus, our character, our inner person begins to change. 2 Peter in the Bible, in the New Testament, 2 Peter describes it as becoming a partaker or to share in his divine nature. And what that sharing does is it causes us to escape corruption. That's what the scripture says, which basically means the old way of living. To escape sin, to escape the things that hold us down, so that we would increase in qualities that reflect the life of Jesus. So now what does that mean, qualities that reflect the life of Jesus? You know, it's important to understand that spiritual growth is observable. You can see it. It starts inwardly, but as a follower of Jesus, I should have far more self-control than I did 5 years ago or 4 years ago or 3 years ago. I should be less worried than I was a year ago. I should have more peace and more trust. That growth is observable. You can see it. I should be more loving. Yeah, my family, anybody who knows me would say, yes, you should be. But I should be able to be more gracious and more forgiving with people. The closer I get to Christ, spiritual growth is observable. But I think we make a mistake in our culture, in our Christian culture, and we try to apply New Year's resolution principles to spiritual transformation, okay? Our quest for spiritual growth, we try to do it just like we would an eating plan or an exercise plan. And honestly, like, don't misunderstand me. Spiritual transformation does require a dream, a desire, a passion, just like a New Year's resolution. It does require a plan. You have to make time to grow in God. It doesn't just float out of the sky. And thirdly, you do have to apply effort, just like you do anything else. Growing in Christ, growing in spiritual growth, being transformed, requires discipline. So natural improvements seem to be similar to spiritual growth, but actually there's a huge difference. There's a big difference. And the difference is the source of our growth. You know, following Jesus and growing in grace is not like losing weight. Okay, it's not like becoming a better person. It's about becoming a new person. Yeah? It's about becoming a new person. Colossians 1 talks about believers who were rescued from darkness and transferred into the kingdom of his son. It's a spiritual thing that happens. 2 Corinthians 5 describes us as a new creation. And Romans 6 talks about walking in newness of life. This isn't just about resolving to be better. It's about setting your heart and your mind and receiving the new person God has for you to be. There is outward evidence. You know, it starts within. But it only makes sense that such incredible supernatural growth would require that God would be the source of that growth, right? It's not our efforts. It's not our striving. It's he is the source of our growth. So my message is very simple today. And I believe with all my heart, as I prayed about this, the past few weeks, as I prepared, this is what I am convinced of. And I hope you're convinced with me. I'm convinced that God has deep spirit, not only why, but deep spiritual growth, spiritual transformation for Vox Community in 2020. Yeah. We're going to grow deeper in love with Jesus. We're going to become more like him. We're going to know the love of God. We're going to know more of who we are in Christ than ever before. The thing is, if your whole experience with God is a Sunday morning service or a community group or serving, all good things, don't quit them. I just need to tell you there's more. There's more for you in 2020. There's more for you. And your deep spiritual journey, your journey to spiritual growth simply starts with a yes. Everybody can say yes, right? Can everybody say yes? Can you say yes? Yes. We can all say yes. Yes to what? I believe today, as we unpack a passage, a story in the scriptures, that God has four invitations for us, for me and for you. Four invitations that he's asking us to grab a hold of and to say yes to. He's not looking for our effort or our striving or our perfection. He's not looking for a to-do list for 2020. He's looking for our hearts and our minds to be transformed by his spirit, by a work of his spirit. And he's just looking for us to say yes to that work. So before I read, I want us to pray. I want us to invite God in here. Is that okay? Can we bow our heads, close our eyes together? This really is a work of the Spirit. Regardless of what I say, God wants to work in you. So Father, we come before you today pretty excited for 2020, God. Whatever has taken place in 2019, the good and the tough, Lord, we thank you that it's a new year. So right now, I open my heart, my friends, we open our hearts, and we say yes, God, trusting in your goodness, trusting your faithfulness, knowing that your love is immeasurable towards us. And we ask you, Holy Spirit, to speak clearly to each one of us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right. I want to read a story out of the book of Luke. Pretty familiar, but we're going to unpack it and find those four invitations from God. You can follow it up on the screen if you don't have your Bible. Luke chapter 8, verse 43. And there was a woman who had a discharge of blood for 12 years. And though she had spent all her living on physicians, she could not be healed by anyone. She came up behind him, behind Jesus, and touched the fringe of his garment. And immediately her discharge of blood ceased. Jesus said, "Who was it that touched me?" When all denied it, Peter said, "Master, the crowds surround you and are pressing in on you." But Jesus said, "Somebody touched me, for I perceive that power has gone out from me." And when the woman saw that she was not hidden, she came trembling and falling down before him, declared in the presence of all the people why she had touched him and how she had been healed, immediately healed. And he said to you, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace." So our story opens up with a nameless woman who is basically defined by her issues. That's how she's known. We don't know her name. We just know that she's been bleeding for 12 years. She's had a 12-year period. Ladies? Yeah, it does. I'm not going to say what you just said, but I heard you. Yeah, I agree with you. That's 12 years. Husbands? Boyfriends? Brothers? Fathers? That would be a nightmare in 2020. Can you imagine the nightmare in 2,000 years ago? 12 years of bleeding. Can you imagine the physical toil? Can you imagine the exhaustion, the weakness, the frailty? She probably couldn't even think straight. The anemia. She had to suffer with anemia, right? But that pales in comparison to the social and emotional toil that this woman lived in for 12 years. See, Jewish law said that if when a woman was bleeding, when she had her period, she was declared unclean. And then when the bleeding stopped, she would be declared clean again, all right? So now this woman bled for 12 years. For 12 years, she was labeled unclean. Unclean. Anything she sat on, any clothing she wore, her bed, her house, anyone she touched was also declared unclean. Can you imagine the isolation and the shame, the frustration, the discouragement, the loss of dreams, the hopes that just died year after year after year? Can you imagine the loneliness, being ostracized from your community and literally called unclean? It was her responsibility not to touch anyone, not to touch anyone or make them unclean. So when she walked the streets, she'd even have to shout, "Unclean, unclean," because she was coming and people needed to know, "Don't touch me." What shame. What a life. This story is recorded in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And in one account, it tells us that she, not only did she spend all her money and not get any better, but she got worse. She suffered at the hands of physicians. Can you imagine the barbaric remedies that they had 2,000 years ago for a woman with this problem? The frustration, the discouragement. Can you relate to this in any way? Maybe it's not bleeding, but maybe it's a marriage. Maybe it's a loss. Maybe it's your job or your finances. Or maybe it's that child you love so much and he or she just can't get it together. Year after year, you're trying. Nothing's changed. Trying everything and nothing's changed. I can relate to this story. 24 years ago, our second child was born. We have three kids. And our second child, Megan. And if you know Megan, Megan is a spitfire, man. She is full of passion. She loves Jesus with her whole heart. She's got a fight in her for the underdog. She's always fighting for somebody. Ask her siblings. She's got a great sense of humor. She'll crack you up. She'll make you laugh. She'll make you cry. She's getting married, actually, this year. They're here somewhere, I think. 76 days is the countdown. She's marrying the dashing, handsome Kaivon. Where are they? Can't wait. Get to be family with that young man. 24 years ago, we were living in England, and when she was born, because of the size of her size at birth, her weight at birth, she sustained a significant birth injury to her left shoulder. So significant that it damaged five major nerves. It's called brachial plexus birth injury. And she was born really with no use of her left arm. So we prayed We've spent 24 years praying, asking God to heal. She spent countless hours in OT and PT. She had a major surgery when she was 9 years old. And she continues to go through cycles of physical therapy. And we continue to pray. We continue to believe and contend for healing. But she still suffers today with chronic headaches or pain because of that injury. So when I look at this woman's 12-year issue, I can relate. As her mom, man, it's been a source of frustration for me. It's been a source of discouragement, saying, God, what's happening? I know you're good. I know you love her. I wish I had it, not her. So I can understand this woman. Maybe you can relate to her too. What in your life can you relate to the frustration of 12 years of struggle? But in my struggle with this injury in my daughter, and in this story, I see our first invitation. I discovered a first invitation from God for deep spiritual growth. In the midst of struggle, in the midst of frustration, the first invitation is this: come to the end of yourself and surrender. That's what we've discovered. Come to the end of yourself and surrender. And that's what we see in this story. Now, I wonder, 2020, your spiritual journey, your life, will it be defined by surrender, or will you continue to struggle and try to fix the things you can't fix? What's it going to be marked by? God's inviting us to make the year 2020 our biggest year of surrender to Him ever. And I mean complete surrender. The struggles, the issues, the ambitions, the hopes, the dreams, everything you are, not just the bad stuff, all the good stuff. Surrendering it all, because I know, and I know you know, only God brings wholeness in His plan, in His time, because of His goodness. Surrender. Let's take a look at verse 44. She came up behind Him and she touched the fringe of His garment, and immediately her discharge of blood ceased. So we see this woman again, 12 years of all this issue. This is her label, her definition. We talk about surrender, and we see that she's reaching out and she's touching Jesus. Now, I want to redefine surrender for you today, okay? I don't want you to misunderstand surrender. Okay, in the natural, you know, one army surrenders to another, right? They wave a white flag. They resign. They put their hands up. You win, we lose. You surrender, you give up, right? It's resignation, it's failure, it's defeat. But you need to understand, as a follower of Jesus, it's different for us, because we're not surrendering to circumstances. We're not surrendering to an illness or an addiction or to an issue. We don't surrender and just go, whatever, it's never going to change. No, we're surrendering to a person. We're surrendering to a person far greater than us, who has power far greater and can do beyond what we ask or think. Amen? Yeah? We're surrendering. You know, this woman, in another account, it says that she heard reports about Jesus. She heard about the miracle worker. She heard about eyes being opened and ears being opened. She surrendered to that. In Matthew, it tells us that she said to herself, she talked to herself. There's nothing wrong with talking to yourself sometimes. Not in the middle of a store or while you're, you know, in a crowd. She said to herself, if only I can touch the hem of His garment. So she refused to surrender to the circumstance. Instead, she found herself surrendering to this God she heard of. And this place of surrender brought her into a position to contend for God's best for her life. Do you see that? That place of surrender brings us to contend. So we see this desperate, frail, weak, probably exhausted woman pushing her way through a crowd that she's got no business being in. Remember, anything she touches is unclean? But she's pushing her way through the crowd, thinking in her heart, if only I can touch Him. And that's where we find our second invitation to deep spiritual growth for 2020 is to push through the crowd and grab a hold of Jesus. Like this woman, push through the crowd and grab a hold of Jesus. Now, your crowd isn't a gaggle of people, maybe. Our crowds are different things. What are the things that stop us from fully living for God? The distractions, the busyness, the nonstop entertainment, the hobbies, the things we do. We just don't have time for God. for 2020, would you push through that crowd? Would you push through that thing, those things that are keeping you from fully grabbing hold of Jesus? Somebody told me, I heard this statistic the other day and it just blew my mind, that the two most downloaded Bible resources right now is the 5-Minute Bible app and the 2-Minute Prayer Journal. So we're like, okay, God, you got 7 minutes. But we expect to have a deep relationship with Jesus, but I'll give you 7 minutes. There's no one you can spend 7 minutes with and have a deep relationship with. You know, our kids are all grown. When they were little, you know, and anybody with small kids, your world is them. Every minute, you're getting them up, you're getting them ready, they're eating breakfast, they're getting their backpack, they're getting on the bus, they're getting off the bus, they're coming home, snack time, homework, dinner, you know, let's read a book, you're up during the middle of the night. You're constantly with them. But as my kids have grown bigger and moved out of the house, woohoo, they say woohoo too. It's very, we have to be intentional or I never see them. We have to be intentional. How much more with God? How much more with God is it worth for you to push through whatever it is that's crowding him out of your life, push through it, and make your relationship with Jesus your top priority for 2020? It's worth it. We want spiritual growth. Well, we need to be serious about that and push through the crowd. Now, we don't just push through the crowd for nothing. We see that she grabbed a hold of Jesus. She grabbed a hold of the hem of his garment. Now, don't miss this part, because this is really cool. That hem is translated tassel. And in Jewish law, the Jewish men would sew 4 blue tassels to their outer garment. So she literally reached up and grabbed a tassel that was hanging from the back of Jesus' garment. And that tassel in Jewish law represented the perfect law of God. And it was a reminder for the people that you need to keep this law. You need to follow this law. But we know, right? We can't keep every law. It's impossible. It's impossible for man or woman to keep every single law of God, except for one man. Except for one man who happened to have that garment on that day, who happened to have that tassel that she grabbed a hold of. That tassel, when she grabbed a hold of it, it represented Jesus's perfect, sinless record. That's what she grabbed a hold of. See, today, for 2020, you don't need to just try harder. You don't need to, you know, white knuckle your way to a deeper relationship with God. You need to embrace, by faith, the record of Jesus. What he did on the cross, that divine exchange, that he took my sin and shame and he gave me his righteousness. We need to embrace that. Now, when she grabbed a hold of that tassel, her body was immediately healed. Immediately healed. What does that mean for us? That means that when you and I turn to Jesus and say, I need a Savior. I believe in what you did on the cross. I believe in your resurrection. And we open our hearts to that. We are immediately made whole. We are immediately made righteous. So when God looks at us, he sees Jesus' perfect sinless record, not our brokenness. That's good news. Yeah? That's good news. It's the gospel. It never gets old. It never gets old. You know, we need to continue to remind ourselves this. Somebody gave me really good advice about 2 years ago, or maybe I read it. I don't know. I didn't think it up on my own, that's for sure. They said to me, preach the gospel to yourself every day. I'm like, haven't I grown past that? I've been walking with Jesus over 30 years. Really? No. Preach the gospel to yourself every day. In the gospel is the power of God. The truth that even when I was dead in my sin, he was rich in love and great in mercy, and he reached out and made me alive in him. That is good news. That's something that's worth reminding yourself every day. So when you push through that crowd and you grab a hold of Jesus, that's what you're doing. That's why you're doing it. To remind yourself of the gospel. Will you say yes to that? Will you commit to taking 2020 and reminding yourself of everything that Jesus has done and build your relationship on that? Let's keep reading. Verses 45 and 46. And Jesus said, who was it that touched me? When all denied it, Peter said, Master, the crowds surround you and they're pressing in on you. But Jesus said, somebody touched me, for I perceive that power has gone out from me. You know, Jesus isn't content with this nameless, faceless encounter. He doesn't just want to move through the crowd, blasting people with healing. He wants to know you. It's not enough for you to just be a face in a crowd. You're not a face in the crowd to Jesus. He's calling her out. Now, when I read this, I kind of wanted to say, if I was there, I feel like I would have gone, Jesus, she's had her period for 12 years. Don't call her out. Don't embarrass her. Just let this one slide, Jesus. But he doesn't. He calls her out. He calls her out. What about you today? Is it enough just to come to Sunday morning and worship together? It's awesome. These guys are amazing. Hear somebody preach, share the word, and then leave? That's not enough. It's not enough for God. He wants more. And I'll tell you, any follower of Jesus will tell you that Jesus asks for far more than we originally plan on giving him. See, like this woman, she just was going to grab and go, get a healing and get out of there. But no, he wanted more. He asks for far more than we originally planned on giving him, but he gives infinitely more than we can ever ask or think. So I want to dare say to you today that just like in these accounts of this story, Jesus stood in this crowd and he turned and he looked around and he said, who touched me? He's here today and he's looking around and he's seeing who's touched me. He's looking into your heart. He knows your life. He knows you personally. He knows the number of hairs on your head or not. He knows. He knows you. And he's saying to you today, I have more for you than being one in the crowd. It's not enough for me. I want more from you. How does she respond? This is awesome. This woman's incredible. Verse 47. And when the woman saw that she was not hidden, she came trembling. And falling down before him, she declared in the presence of all the people why she had touched him and how she had been immediately healed. She goes public. She tells her story of her 12 years of uncleanness to the crowd. Do you think like her little heart was pounding in her chest, thinking, huh, I'm going to get more shame. I'm going to be ostracized even further. Why would she speak out? Why would she go public? Even fearing, why would she go public? She doesn't care. She has to speak. And it's true for you and me today. When Jesus gets into our life and he gets in our marriages or he gets in our parenting or he gets in our relationships or he gets in our jobs and he starts to do his work, we have to speak. We have to tell others what he's done in our lives. 2,000 years later, she doesn't even have a name. She's nameless. 2,000 years later, she's changing my life. And she's changing your life today as we hear this word. Her story echoes throughout history. I would guess millions of people have been changed by this nameless woman because she declared in public why she reached out and how he healed her. Now, I wonder, like, he was calling her out. Was he calling her out to shame her? Was he calling her out to shame her? No, he wasn't. He was actually calling her out of her shame. That's a good one, isn't it? He wasn't calling her out to embarrass her or shame her. He was calling her out of her shame. He wanted to hear her voice. He wanted her to speak out loud of what he had just done. Our third invitation for 2020. Now listen, I'm telling you, this is what God has for us. He has deep spiritual transformation for every single one of us. I don't care if you're brand new or you're an oldie like me. Deep spiritual transformation and change for 2020. If we will start with a yes, this is his third invitation to us. Share your story of grace every day. Share your story of grace every day. Your story is powerful. You are surrounded by broken people who need to know the grace of God. You don't need to be eloquent and perfect in everything you say. This is who I was before. This is how I collided with grace. And this is who I am now. That's all you have got to do. Share your story every day. Your friends who know Jesus, they're going through stuff that you can speak into. Share your story of grace every single day. Be bold. Be powerful. Use your voice. I think the best is the ending of the story. Verse 48 says, and he said to her, so she's confessed it. She's told everybody. Like, picture this. This is a real story. Crowds of people. She speaks out. And he says to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace." Is that the religious response the crowd probably expected? That this unclean woman would shove herself into this crowd and then touch him? Mm-mm. What does Jesus' response do? It redefines her identity. Okay, if you're only going to hear one thing today, hear this. It redefines her identity. When we touch Jesus, when he touches us, when we encounter him, he changes us. He changes who we are, okay? She goes from the woman with the issue of blood, who's called unclean by everybody she knows, and Jesus calls her daughter. Come on, daughter. What a term of endearment. What a term of love. And one preacher I listened to said, the better translation for this is sweetheart. Jesus doesn't use this word for any other woman in Scripture. He calls her sweetheart. He goes beyond a first name basis. And he calls her a tender nickname. Do you know how important what God calls you is? How important it is to your soul? What God says about you? Who he thinks you is? You are. But this is the gospel. This is the gospel. That we surrender our lives. We push through our busyness. We reach out to Jesus. And he redefines our identity. Now, this is where I think the problem is, often. Okay, so hear me on this. Because this is super important. Many times as followers of Jesus, we do all of the things I said. We've surrendered our lives. You know? We've come to the end of ourselves. We know that Jesus died on the cross for us. We've surrendered our lives. We spend time with God every single day. We read the Bible, we journal, we pray. We share our faith all the time. But we stop short of this last invitation. I've seen it myself, and I've seen it in people over and over and over again. And it's time for that to change. It's time for 2020 to be a brand new year for you in regards to your identity in Christ. Okay? That's what God wants to do for you. Are you willing to say yes to that? Yeah? We might not walk through the streets yelling unclean like that woman did. We might not walk through going, loser, I'm an addict, I'm divorced, bankrupt, lost my job, I'm a liar. We might not yell those things out loud, but in our mind and our heart, we often have this loop of I am my issue. I am my issue. It's not going to change. This is who I am, broken, unforgiven. I'm a sinner. It's time to redefine yourself. Jesus paid an incredible cost for you to have a life in him. So 2020, if we want to mark this by deep, rich spiritual growth, it's time to redefine the way we define ourselves. You are chosen. You know you're chosen, you're not forsaken. You know you are made complete in Christ? You know that's who you are when you accept Jesus? Do you know that you're blameless before God? You're free from accusation. He forgives your sins. He's forgiven our past, our present, our future sins. He forgives them. Do you know you're alive to God? The creator of heaven and earth, you hear his voice? Come on, these are good things. This is what you are. Do you know you're healed? Your soul, your physical body, he's your healer. Do you know that you're an heir of Christ? You have an inheritance in God? You're not a beggar. We're rich. We're rich in God. Do you know that you're victorious? That there's no addiction? There's no sin? You're dead to sin. You're alive to God. There's no addiction. There's no struggle that can wrap its chains around your ankles and keep you in Jesus. You're victorious. Do you know you're free? Come on, somebody's got to get excited about this. You're free. Do you know you don't need to be anxious? You can live in peace. Do you know depression? I know these are real things. I'm not making light of them. I'm just saying the year 2020, to invest in your spiritual growth. Do you know we can live in joy, everlasting, fullness of joy within? Do you know you're called? He saw you. He called you. Do you know you're a friend of God? Those are just a few things. So will you accept this fourth invitation? with me today for 2020. God has incredible, transformative spiritual growth for Vox Church. Would you say yes to this invitation? Define yourself radically as a child of God. Define yourself radically as a child of God. Stop believing the lies. Stop talking junk about yourself. Stop letting others. And start to read His word. Steep yourself in this. This is where you're going to find God. And this is where you're going to find yourself. It's crazy. It's supernatural. And it's true. Come on. Could you stand with me today, please? 2020 is going to be a year of transformative spiritual growth for this community. We are going to grow deeper than we ever have. We're going to fall more in love with Jesus than we ever have. We're going to know Him, be full of peace. We're going to know who we are more than ever. So I want to speak this thing right over you, okay? A life of deep spiritual growth starts with a simple yes. It's not a big to-do list, church. It's a simple yes. It's been done for you. All you have to do is say yes. Say yes to surrender. Stop trying to fix everything. Trust Him. I know that feeling. I get it. Say yes to just simply spending time. Start your day in the Bible. Start your day in prayer. He'll meet you there. He's waiting. Share your faith. Don't be afraid. Tell people what you believe. Tell them what your life is all about. Steep yourself in your new identity. Find verses. Speak them over your life. I'm going to pray for us. We're going to worship. As we worship, I want to ask you to do one thing. I want you to start to whisper your yes to God for 2020. Just say yes. Even now, let's close our eyes. Yes, God. We want more. We love You, God. And we want to grow deeper in love with You. We want to know You more, God. We don't want to just be busy doing things. We want to know You. Father, I pray for my friends. I thank You. I thank You for the hearts right now that are burning, turning towards You, God. Their hearts are on fire for You. Holy Spirit, do Your work. Do the thing that only You can do. Amen.
Vox Church seeks to reach New England and beyond with the life-transforming message of Jesus. If you have been impacted by this message or the ministry of Vox Church, you can continue to help us reach others by giving today at voxchurch.org/give. For more information on how to get involved, visit us online or on any social media platform at vox.church. We always appreciate you taking the time to rate or review this message on iTunes. Thanks again for listening to the Vox Church podcast.